Amen. All right, I'd like you to take the Word of God tonight and turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy chapter number 6. 1 Timothy chapter number 6, and we'll look at a couple of verses of Scripture here. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Let's stand to our feet in honor of God's Word. Of course, Paul's writing to his son in the ministry, if you will, Timothy, young Timothy. Not quite as young as many may think, but younger than others may suppose. The Bible says in verse number 12 of chapter 6, "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ." I want to preach tonight on this thought: fight the good fight. Fight the good fight. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the time you've given to us. Lord, we thank you for what you've already done in our midst tonight and how you've blessed us through the music. Lord, we pray now for the Word of God as we take heed to it. I pray that as I preach, I'll preach in the power of the Spirit of God. And Lord, I pray that we'll hear everything you'd have us to hear. Lord, I pray that tonight we'd be greatly encouraged through your Word to go further for thee. If there be one here tonight that's never put their faith and trust in thee as their personal Savior, I pray that this night they would realize your love for them. And Lord, that they would realize how that you came into this world and died on the cross for their sins, how that you was buried and how that you rose again. And Lord, you promised that whosoever would call upon your name could be saved. Lord, be with any that may be here that needs to do that tonight. For those of us that have already made that profession, that have already trusted Christ as our Savior, I pray tonight we would learn from thy word, Lord, the things that would help us to serve thee in a greater way. We'll thank and praise you for all that's accomplished. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. We find over and over in the Bible, especially in the writings of Paul, that he uses terms to help us to realize that the Christian life is a life filled with battles. And I think any of us that have been saved, that have tried to take our stand for the Lord, would have to say, yes, life is full of battles. Every day we face them. There's all kinds of things that we go through every day of our lives. And he uses all kinds of terms. Back in 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verse number 18, he talks about our battle as a warfare when he says, "This charge I commit thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare." This is a battle. This is a war we're in. The Bible says in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 3, where he declares the need of good soldiers when he's writing to Timothy, and he says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And tonight, every one of us that are saved are to be a good soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we talk about fighting the good fight of faith and talking about being in these battles, we realize that our goal is to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not out trying to kill anybody. We're not out trying to coerce anybody. We're not out trying to force anything on anyone. We're just to fight the good fight of faith, and we're going to talk about that in just a few moments, so that others can see Christ in us and have a desire to have what we have. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Shouldn't others see Christ in us? You know, we're not going to shove the gospel down anybody's throat. But we're to live the gospel and preach the gospel and tell others what the gospel has done for us. That's fighting the good fight of faith. We see in Ephesians chapter number 6, he talks about the armor that we need. And he said, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Well, we realize the devil's going to be against us. The world's going to be against us. The world doesn't like the Lord. You know, every law seems to be conforming to where sin is all right, but Christianity is something that you know, they're suppressing it. They're trying to do away with it. We begin to realize that this truly is a war that we're in, and we're to fight the good fight of faith. In this letter, Paul was challenging Timothy to fight him and to lay hold on eternal life. He says, whereunto thou art also called. Anybody that's been saved any length of time, it's taken your stand. You'd stand and say with me tonight, yeah, it is a battle, preacher. No doubt about it. But I want you to know that in the end, victory is ours. What a great promise we have. There's three things tonight I want us to see about the fight, and I want to call your attention to this here in the Scriptures. First of all, I want you to see the foes of the fight. The foes of the fight. While the battle with Satan and all of his workers, his demons, his cohorts is out there, and sometimes they're this unseen enemy, you know, that's not flesh and blood. I want you to realize that there are foes to the Christian life that are flesh and blood. There are things that we do battle every day. There are things that are seen, that we constantly are before us, and they're described to us here. I want you to notice what the Bible says in verse number 1. We see that working for someone that's not saved sometimes is a foe to the fight. Notice what the Bible says. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. Here is talking about somebody that you work for that doesn't know the Lord. And it's hard. It's a hard battle sometimes to work 8 hours a day or 10 hours a day or sometimes 12 hours a day for somebody that does not know the Lord, for somebody that does not respect your beliefs, your opinions, your thoughts, your ideals, somebody that doesn't know God at all. And they just don't care for the stand that you take. I want you to know that's a battle, isn't it? That's a foe to the fight. Remember, Paul said we're to fight the good fight of faith. In my Bible, I underlined the word good and out beside of it, and I said, many are fight, this means to fight a fight that's worth fighting. Sometimes we pick and choose the wrong battles, don't we? Sometimes we fight the wrong fight. But we're to fight the right fight. We're to fight the fight of faith. Sometimes we work for people that's not saved. And in this battle, Paul says that we're to treat that person, that man, that woman with respect. We're to give him a good day's work so that our testimony won't be hindered. That's what the Bible says. If you're going to be a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be a good employee. Fight the good fight of faith. Then it goes on and it says sometimes it's working for someone that is saved. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 2. If any man teach, and they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they're brethren, but rather do them service because they're faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. So if you work for somebody that is saved, you should thank God for that and for that person, and you're not to take advantage of them. You know, I've seen that happen over the years. I've seen somebody be an employee of an employer that's saved and they take advantage of their goodness. You know? It puts the employer in a hard spot. I've seen people that went to church together and one have to work for the other, and that's a difficult place to be in. But I want you to know, if you have a boss that's saved, then you ought to thank God for that. You've got to realize they're not perfect. They don't walk on water. They're not the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to make their mistakes. You have to be willing to forgive, but you have to treat them with great respect and be thankful that you work for somebody like that. We're getting into this thing. We're just trying to get the basis set and get the foundation set here. We work for somebody that's not saved. That's a battle. That's a foe to the fight. We're to fight a good fight of faith. And then we work for somebody that is saved. We're to thank God for him, and we're not to expect him to overlook our failures. You know, this isn't some kind of a lodge where you get free pass and free pardon because you wear a certain emblem. We're Christians and we're to do what's right regardless. When the Lord Jesus Christ saved us by His own precious blood, He changed our lives, and He ought to put a new desire in our heart to live for God and to walk for God and to do God's will for our life. And God's will is for us to treat those in authority with respect. Doesn't mean we always have to agree with them, but we are to respect them, especially those that are saved. The Bible teaches us that those that are saved, we're not to despise them. We're to do them service because they're faithful, because they know the Lord. May the Lord help us. And we need to do what they tell us to do, what's expected of us. Then we get into the more of the nitty-gritty of it all, I guess you could say. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 3. As we think about the foes of the fight, we realize that sometimes working for someone that's not saved can be a battle, and sometimes working for someone that is saved can be a battle. But then we start talking about, if any man teach otherwise, talking about these things, you know. When we're exposed to all kinds of false doctrine, that's a foe of the fight. The Bible says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. You see what the Bible says here? This is a real battle today, isn't it? Well, tell you something, the people can influence your life, and sometimes you're in workplaces, or sometimes you're in certain places with people, and people that may have authority over you, or people that may be your boss, or people that may have influence over your life. And I want you to understand something. If what they say does not line up with the Word of God, you better be careful, because they'll reel you in. Just about everybody has some kind of a new doctrine going on, and they're just waiting to lay it on the Christian and to try to get them confused and mixed up. Now, when it comes to doing something, you know, if a boss ever told you to do something that was wrong, you've got to say no. You know, if a boss says, go instill that. You know, that's not right, is it? Well, what are we supposed to do? Notice what the Bible says. The Bible says that he is proud, knowing nothing, verse number 4, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, and evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. In other words, there are bosses out there that say, let's fudge on the paperwork a little bit. Even saved people. That's, you know what the Bible says? From such withdraw thyself. I would never want to put my name to a document that's false, would you? I would never want to go out and do a performance that's absolutely false, would you? This is the Bible teaching us there's going to be foes to the fight of faith. And it really begins, and this is really talking about the financial realm of our lives. Because let's talk about our jobs and what we do and the people that we work around, the people that we work for. We're to do an honest day's work for an honest day's pay. We're to do that which is right. And if we're commanded, then the Bible says we are to withdraw ourselves. It's not an easy thing to think about, is it? Verse number 9 helps us to understand some things. Let's go on and read. We'll read down through there. The Bible says in verse number 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. We all have heard that before, haven't we? Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. It's pretty good stuff. I reckon the Lord knows what He's talking about when He's trying to teach us how to fight the good fight of faith. But then it says, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and snare. In other words, if your goal is being rich, if you love it that much, then you're going to fall into temptation and snare. You know what your goal is? God. God's always the goal. It's not about having a big bank account. It's about God being the goal. And when God's the goal, if God wants to put money in your bank account, then He can do that, you know? God can provide our needs, and God can bless our work, and God can do certain things. And sometimes it's not God's will for us to be rich. I always hoped it'd be God's will for me to be a millionaire. Not yet, anyway. Maybe someday. I don't know what I'd do with it if I had it. You say, boy, I could make a list. It just run me. The Bible says, they that will be rich, if that's the goal, they'll fall into temptation and snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. You see that? How many people do you know that's wealthy that's in that case? Man, they just feed on having things. How many wealthy, really wealthy men, I'm talking about famous, popular people, do you know that has a healthy marriage? Look at Hollywood. With all their millions, they change partners every other week. You understand what I'm saying? It's a snare to them. People that have a desire, if all they're working on is being rich, the Bible says something about it in verse number 10. Look at it. For the love of money is what? The root of all evil. And you've heard it before growing up. I'll never forget. People, you say it. Kids I went to school with, they say, well, money is the root of all evil. Money is not the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. Which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. A lot of Christians have got caught up in the racket of trying to be something great in this world. The Bible says not to lift ourselves up. The Bible says to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. He'll exalt you in due time. The foes of the fight are real. I want you to understand there is a fight that's worth fighting, but there are foes out there, and they will come at us in every way. Sometimes it's who we work for. Sometimes it's the job we do. Sometimes it's the goals that we set. Sometimes it's the love of money. But I want you to understand tonight that we are to fight the good fight. And there's going to be foes to that. There's going to be things that's going to try to hinder us from doing what it is we know God wants us to do with our lives. So when we think about fighting the good fight of faith, when we see the foes of the fight, I want you to see, secondly tonight, the faith for this fight. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. The foes in this world are real, aren't they? They're not only in the world, they're in the church. We need to realize sometimes they're in our own families. Sometimes there's foes in politics and in scientific philosophies and other philosophies and novels and magazines and drink and gambling and all these things that are against God. We need to realize people are trying to destroy the things of God. People are trying to destroy the Lord's day. I wouldn't have a problem if the blue law went back into effect, would you? I don't think it'd be a problem. Some of these younger ones are like, blue law? How many knows what the blue law is? How many's never heard of the blue law? Man, y'all must have grew up somewhere where they worked on Sundays all the time. Blue law was something that prohibited you from working on Sundays. You know? You know why? Because in America, they realized Sunday was a day set aside for families to go to church. And there's all kinds of things trying to take the place of what's right in your life. There's 2,548 channels on television now. And you'll sit down and you'll watch that all day and never open up the Word of God. There's foes out there. Now, we're getting into my second point here in just a second. I'm trying to help you to understand. Sometimes the foe's not a person. Sometimes it's just circumstance. Sometimes we put ourselves in a place. And sometimes it's foes against not just us individually. Sometimes it's a foe against the Christian life. You realize that more and more laws are coming up to be voted on that deal with biblical values? Do you realize, you know, they're talking about this fairness doctrine that it could quieten the mouth? You know, some people says, well, it's just politics. But not if you look at the whole matter of the law of it. Fairness doctrine would say something like this, that if I can go on the radio and preach, then that station has to guarantee an atheist to be able to get on there and say the same things about what they believe. And so you know what's going to happen. Stations just say, well, we'll not have either one. You understand what's going on? They're trying to stop the mouth of truth. So what do? Well, we just fold up our garments and we walk out the door and we just go home. No, we have faith for the fight. And we take our stand on what thus saith the Lord. He says, fight the good fight of faith. There's too many Christians over the years that have just rolled over and played dead for the devil. And what I'm saying tonight is, it's time for us to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ again. And we need to stand and stand up for what thus saith the Lord. In the midst of all that we can, all that's going on, in the midst of all that's happening, because we know the Lord Jesus Christ, we can sing tonight that faith is the victory that overcomes the world. I like what John said when he was writing that first epistle, the epistle of 1 John. He said, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." So how are we going to stand? How are we going to contend when everything seems to be going against us? Well, we've got to go back to our faith for the fight. We've got to be willing to take our stand. Go back to the 11th chapter of Hebrews. We're not going to turn there. But go back and read it sometime. You know what it says? By faith, Enoch. By faith, Moses. By faith, Elijah. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Rahab, a harlot whose life was gloriously changed. By faith, Joshua, the spies. By faith, they crossed the Red Sea. By faith. Do you think it was easy for any of those folks? Do you think they just said, well, it's what I'm going to do, and that the devil just stepped out of the way? I have news for you. When they determined they were going to do what God wanted to do with their life, the devil put everything he possibly could in their way of getting it done. But by faith, they moved forward. And they did what God wanted them to do. And that's the reason we have the Great Hall of Faith in chapter number 11, the book of the Hebrews. And that's why we have the Old Testament. That's why we have the New Testament, is because there were people willing to stand. By the way, we could go back to the history of early America, and we could find out that in early America, it was the Baptists that gave us the religious liberty that we have. While they're trying to corrupt the law, the separation of church and state, and the way that they're doing it now, the reason that started was to keep the state out of the church. To give people a choice. Individual soul liberty. Baptists stood in the midst of great persecution from the organized church of England. And many of them gave their blood. Obadiah Holmes shed his blood for the Baptist principles, which we believe come from the Word of God. There's never one time in the Bible that we see an infant sprinkled or baptized. And they took their stand that baptism was the immersion of believers after they'd been saved, without coercion. You see, infant baptism is coercion. It's something that's forced on somebody. They have no choice. But we believe believer's baptism is something you have a choice, that after you're saved, if you're going to be obedient to the Lord's command, you follow the Lord in the likeness of His baptism, of His death, His burial, and His resurrection. There were some men and women in early America that fought the good fight because they had the faith for the fight. And it didn't matter if they were burned at the stake. It didn't matter if they were persecuted. It didn't matter whatever the world may say. They said, we're going to fight this good fight of faith. The fight, the faith for the fight. Paul declares that it's a good fight. It's for an eternal cause. And we should place our faith in God and stay in the battle. But then I want you to see finally tonight the future of the fight. We find that in verse number 14. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God one of these days the battle's going to be over. Amen? I'm glad to tell you tonight there's a report from heaven that the fight's going to end one of these days. And I'm so happy when I think about this and when I think about having never having to deal with some of the things that we have to deal with now. our children are being taught that there is nothing absolute, that it's whatever you may undertake, that there's no completion. You know, they say there's no truth, there's nothing absolute, and they're being taught that in their school systems. Well, if there's nothing absolute, then they'll turn to drugs, they'll turn to alcohol, they'll turn to everything to try to satisfy them. But if they were to realize that there is something absolute, and that is that Jesus Christ is coming again, and that every knee shall bow before Him, and we'll all give an account of ourselves to Him one of these days. So, well, they can't teach that in public schools. They used to. Of course, that's back before we got so smart. I'm glad there's an absolute in this battle, in this fight. When Jesus comes, our fight will be over. In some golden daybreak, Jesus will come. Some golden daybreak, battles all won. We'll shout the victory. Break through the blue. Some golden daybreak for me, for you. I'm looking forward to the finish of the fight, aren't you? Let's fight the good fight of faith. When's Jesus coming? I don't know, but I have to believe it's soon. Tonight's all right with me. I've trusted Him. I put my faith in Him. Several years ago, I trusted the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He forgave me my sins, cleansed my soul, came into my life. Now He's promised me a home up in heaven. Until He comes, I want to fight the good fight of faith. Wherever it may lead, whatever it may cost, however difficult it may be, we need to fight the good fight of faith. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the time that we've had. Look into Thy Word. I pray, Lord, that tonight we've been helped by it, we've been encouraged by it, and strengthened by it. But we realize that there are foes in this fight, and I pray that You'll help us to always do the right thing. Lord, I pray that You'll help us to have the faith for the fight that we need. And Lord, until You return, I pray that You'll help us to be true to Thee. Lord, I pray for those that may be here tonight without Christ as Savior once again. Lord, I pray that Your Word, even though not a gospel message, Lord, has touched hearts and lives, and if there be one without Thee, that tonight they would have that understanding. Before they leave this building, they would speak to someone about their need to know Christ as Savior. I pray for those of us that are saved. We have peace in our heart that heaven's going to be our home. Lord, I pray that You'll help us to have the faith for the fight, to stand for that which is right. Tell others what You've done for us and do not back down from the truth of Your blessed Word. Now, Lord, we give this time to Thee. Lord, as the invitation is extended, I pray that every person You've spoken to would be obedient. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ we do pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight.